setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
I am coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how to get there. And I want to give a big shout out to our news station in Minneapolis. We are live on AM 1440 KYCR. So I'm excited to be a part of the KYCR family. And for those of you who listen to the program on your favorite podcast app, you can also catch us if you're in the Twin Cities area on AM 1440 Live each day. And that is at 106 Eastern, 1206 Central Time. So very excited about that. 844-747-2577 is the number, 844-747-2577. If you're new to the show, this is not another political talk show. We're talking about purpose, your purpose. And your purpose is to fill the unique role that you were created to fill in your relationships and in your work. And we're going to focus on the work side of this deal. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired on Monday mornings, just trying to count down to Friday evening, this is the place for you. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's start it off with Stefan in Dallas, Texas. Stefan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Man, I am living the dream. How are you, Stefan?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good.
I was calling because I had a question. My question is, right now I'm planning to go into IT while I pursue other passions in my life. And I want to know, would that be a bad decision considering I know I won't like the work?
Oh. So it depends. If this is the day job that will get you to the dream job, then I'm okay with that. I mean, my story is that, Stefan, I was running my own business, and I was self-employed because I had a great opportunity to start a business around an opportunity that was kind of handed to me. And I knew that being self-employed was going to give me the freedom that I needed to pursue broadcasting, because it was going to take 5 to 7 years. So that's my journey. So yes, I'm okay with you doing it, because I didn't like selling sponsorships to live events. There's nothing about it I liked. I was good at selling things and I had relationships, but it was a means to an end. So as long as you are pursuing your dream, I'm okay with you using technology as a day job, because it's a pretty good field. It could be a great field, depending on where you're going and your specific focus, to where it can fund the pursuit of the dream job. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about, because I want to start me a jewelry store, online jewelry store. However, my goal was to be able to do something that allows me to pay the bills that I didn't dread. I just wanted to be able to go to work, do my job extremely well, and come home and work on what I would rather be doing.
Then absolutely.
But I didn't want to be miserable at the same time.
Well, but let me tell you what I think will help you not become miserable. I wasn't miserable running my business, because I had the freedom. I was making good money, and I was pursuing the dream. So my entire focus wasn't on the day job. My entire focus was where it was allowing me to go. And so I didn't get down in the dumps. You know, I was like, okay, this is part of this I don't like. But I was never miserable, because I was like, I was doing what I had to do to be able to do what I wanted to do. Make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. You had an exterior goal that made it all worth it.
That's right. So here's the point. You don't go in and you don't ever look at that job and go, ugh, I'm doing this IT work that I can't stand. I'm so miserable. No, you go and you go, hey, I got a good job. I'm so grateful that I don't have to worry about paying the bills, and I can take care of my life. And this is allowing me to launch that online jewelry store and make progress. Do you see the difference?
Yes, I see the difference.
Yeah. Now, I'm not telling you, Stefan, that you're never going to have a day where you have to remind yourself of what I just said. And so that's why I want my voice in your head going, snap out of it, Stefan. Get over it. You're doing what you have to do so that you can do what you want to do. And you just play that over and over in your head until you get sick and tired of hearing me say it. And then you go, I'm sick and tired of hearing Ken say this. So I'm just going to change my attitude. Because this is all about attitude. And what you can control are effort and attitude. So you go in and you bust it in IT, and that's effort, and you have a great attitude of gratitude, then you're going to be fine. And you'll get there. I'm proud of you, dude. Really proud of you. Go get it. Go get it, Stefan. I love it. You know, I met a nice couple here from the Chattanooga, Tennessee area in between the YouTube show that we just wrapped up live at Ramsey Solutions. And I'll go out and shake hands and sign books and take pictures and stuff when folks are out watching, which, by the way, we have another couple of couples out there in front of us right there. So thank you guys for showing up. But I went out and said hi to them, and they had just they have no debt in their life at all. It's what we call at Ramsey Solutions Baby Step 7. They have no debt, paid off house, and they're truly living and working like nobody else. And they want to start a business. And so we were talking about it. And I said, listen, financially you're in great shape, but you're still going to need to start this thing on the side until it can replace the income that, you know, you guys are making right now. And together they're making really good money. And so we talked about this, and even in their situation, okay, so they are financially really well off. They're way ahead of everybody else. But their dream job is another business they do together. And we talked through two or three scenarios, but even for them, they're going to have to do whatever it takes, and they're going to have to be patient for this thing to grow, this business that it would replace one or both of their incomes. It's going to take a little bit of while. So I want to help you all understand this idea of you do what you have to do so you can do what you want to do. It's going to be with you the rest of your life, even when you're like this couple that's debt-free and they're millionaires. Okay, well, I still have to put in the time. I still have to be patient. And see, here, folks, here's this thing. You know, in movies and in books, and we glamorize perseverance and persistence, and it should be glamorized in that people who get what they want persevere. They stay with it, so they get up and they persist. But you know what perseverance is made up of? It's made up of two elements, equal parts. Perseverance, people that make it and stay the long haul, they understand the combination of persistence. It's getting up every day and chopping wood, but then being patient. Oh, if I walked around the streets of Nashville right now with a microphone and a camera, and I walked up to people and I said, if I promised you that you would get your dream job, but all you have to do is commit to do whatever it takes, would you do it? Everybody would go, oh, yeah, oh, man, I'll do whatever it takes. Everybody. But if I followed that question up with, okay, great, but are you willing to wait as long as it takes? Ugh. A lot of people drop off there. See, here's what it really boils down to. It is our human condition. So don't feel bad about yourself or beat yourself up if you're there. I'm the same way. We all are willing to do what it takes, but if it takes a long time, well, we're not in for that. Patience and persistence lead to perseverance. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I talk a lot about discovering your talent and passion to find your dream job. And that's exactly what my friends at Burst have done. Hamish was passionate about toothbrushes, and Brittany was a successful entrepreneur. Together, they built a business that has revolutionized oral care. The Burst Sonic Electric Toothbrush is clinically proven to remove up to 10 times more plaque than a manual toothbrush. See what a simple dream can become. Try a Burst brush today for as little as $49.99. Go to burstoralcare.com and use the code KEN to get special pricing. Replacing that misery that you have on Monday mornings when you think and start to head into work with momentum. Yes, that is possible. Wait a second, Ken. You're telling me that you can help me not be miserable on Monday mornings? Yeah, even if you're still in that job that's been giving you misery. But if you know you're headed out of it, climbing out of that pit, that purgatory of purposeless work, boy, I'm on fire today with the alliteration, Joe. You never know. I mean, some days the brain's a little sharper than others. Purgatory of purposeless work. That's a good one. I know a lot of you are listed, and that's why you're listed. I got good news for you. You can find meaningful work. You can achieve the dream. You can. I promise. Even if you're in your 40s and 50s, I've even had 60-year-olds call the show. It's never too late to start the journey. Let's go. 844-747-2577. You're listening to The Ken Coleman Show. Coming to you from Nashville. Thrilled to have you. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Seattle, Washington. Nick is joining us there. Nick, you're on The Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
Yeah, so my question is kind of specific. The gist of it is, when and how do I ask my current employer to go full-time remote? And so I am blessed with a wonderful job here in Seattle in technology, and our family plans are to relocate maybe to like Nevada area. However, Nevada doesn't have as many technology opportunities, especially like in my field, which is like the cloud and networking space. And so, you know, I'm looking at options like going remote with my current employer. And so what I'm trying to do, you know, to kind of, I guess, hedge my bets is to get a certification on the side and maybe, you know, after that, you know, prepare for interviewing and just to be most prepared. And so my thought has been, you know, why don't I just wait until I've got my certification and I've started to prepare for interviews, technical interviews. However, my wife believes that now is the best time because right now we're remote and we're going to be remote for the next foreseeable future. And so she believes that now is the best time because it's just, you know, we're already remote. So why not just ask to go permanent?
Yeah.
And I want to just get your perspective on it.
Yeah. Are you concerned in any way that if you were to have this conversation with your leader today, for instance, that there would be some negative repercussions if you said, hey, are we going to be remote for the long term? Has leadership discussed that? Are you guys going to offer folks like me or other employees in the company the opportunity to stay remote? I think if you ask it that way, you're going to get a good idea. But are you worried about saying, you know, we're thinking about moving eventually, but I love the company. I'd love to stay in this work. I mean, are you nervous about any kind of negative result?
Yes, I am. They've given no indication that we're going to stay remote for the, you know, forever. And so they've also talked, you know, when this was kind of new, they were always talking about, oh, when we're returning to the office. And I think they have every intention to return to the office. So I am a little nervous that maybe they'll think that, you know, I'm just a matter of time before I'm leaving or something like that. If they are to say that they're not going remote for people.
Well, I guess so. My question to you and to your wife, if she says it's a good time, I kind of go back to the wife and go, well, babe, I'm not certain how this is going to go. And I am nervous about them kind of letting me go eventually, maybe not right away, but if they feel like I'm out the doors at some point anyway. And so we need to mitigate that risk and decide, are we going to be okay with that? So I guess it comes down to, you know, if you're prepared for something else, then I'd bring up the conversation. If you're not prepared, I wouldn't bring it up. And I don't think you're prepared yet. I'd want to have a job. Yeah. I'd want to have a job. I want that certification. And I would want to have a job lined up in Nevada. That's what I would do. You called the Ken Coleman Show. That's what I would do. I would not go in and try to convince them of something that they've given no indication that they're going to do across the company. I mean, I think you're a sharp guy, but I don't think you're that good. So you're going to be the one guy that tips the whole thing? I don't think it's smart. Do you?
I'm nervous. I don't believe that it'll like cost me my job, but maybe it would. They just would perceive me differently. Maybe they would perceive me as not.
But what I'm saying is, Nick, you and I are on the same page, and I'm not knocking your wife. I'm glad you guys have a relationship where she can shoot you straight. But I don't think you're calling me if your wife doesn't say what she said. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, then. So don't do it. I love my wife, Stacy. Okay. We'll be married 23 years in May. I love her. Her opinion sways me more than anybody on the planet. But there are times where she'll say something or suggest something, and it will make me really consider it. And I do. But there are times where I consider it and I go, no, I don't think that's the issue. And I think that's where you're at right now. And I just think it is an unnecessary step. It'd be one thing if the company had already announced that they were considering moving a portion of the workforce to full-time remote. Then you could get in and make your case. That's not happened. So therefore, you are risking being perceived differently, all for crazy odds. The odds of you successfully convincing them that you're the one guy that gets to be remote, I think it's crazy. However, I am in favor of you and your wife going, okay, we want to move to Nevada. Let's look for something out there. I don't believe that you'll have a hard time finding a good IT job there. I know times are tough out there, but I still think you could find something. But I would be in favor of you, once you find something in Nevada where they've offered you something before you officially resign, or start the move process, I would go to your current employer and say, hey, we want to move as a family to Nevada. I'd love to stay with you. Is there any chance you'd keep me remote? Then we don't have anything to worry about. Make sense?
Yeah, that does.
That's what I would prefer you do. 844-747-2577. Joe, it's that time on Mondays. We like to share emails and social media posts. You can follow me on Instagram at Ken Coleman, and you should, by the way. We like to give these little momentum updates where people just say, hey, can I make a progress? So it's time for Momentum Monday. Joe, every time you play that music, it just makes me do things with my body that, honestly, my kids would be so embarrassed by.
I'm totally sorry.
I like it. It's just, I'm just reminded, it gave me a little bit of juice. I started moving my shoulders in a very, very strange way. A very dad way, and as I was doing it, I'm thinking my kids would be so embarrassed, which is why I do it, right? You know, their friends, by the way, follow me on Instagram. I've got two middle schoolers and a high schooler, and they follow me on Instagram. My own kids don't, which is to be expected. You know what I mean? I mean, I get it. I mean, it's not a thing. I don't care. I maybe a little bit. Maybe I care a little bit. I don't know.
Sure, you do.
But I'll post something, you know, or do something, and they'll come home and be like, Dad, really? I mean, you went on a rant about this. I'm like, how do you even know this? You guys don't even pay attention to anything I do.
Well, my friends told me. They're all the time telling me about this, and they like it and everything. They think you're well-spoken.
I'm like, can we pause for a moment? I didn't embarrass you. Oh, geez, I've eaten up my time. I get distracted. Okay, here we go. Chase writes in, hey, kid, I spoke to you in February of 2019 about quitting my government job and becoming self-employed. Well, that dream is about to become a reality. At the end of this month, I'm finally living the dream. I love it. Ariel says, hey, Ken, I recommend your podcast to everybody I talk to. It has changed my life. No, it hasn't. You have changed your life, Ariel. I've not changed your life. I can talk and teach and teach and teach and give advice, but you, at the end of the day, did it. Good on you, Ariel. Really proud of you. She's stepping into her dream as well. And we got time for one more. David landed his dream job as well. Today's culmination of years of failed attempts over a decade. Call it whatever you want. Listen to this, folks. Setbacks, missed opportunities, laziness, stubbornness, immaturity, weak mindset. I'm guilty of it all, but today I win. Whew. I just got the shivers on that. That's good. That's really good. Way to go, David. Hey, if you want to share your momentum story, it doesn't have to be a dream job, just a little slight step forward, send us an email, ask@kencoleman.com. More Ken Coleman Show coming right up. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help men and women get clear so they could get qualified. We help men and women get connected so they could get started. We help men and women get promoted so they could get the dream job. Why? To work like no one else, to give themselves away, to contribute to this world what they were created to contribute. We call it the sweet spot, where you use what you do best, talent, to do work you love, passion, to produce results that matter deeply to you, mission. Pretty simple. And inside that sweet spot, there are multiple jobs, dream jobs, career paths that will allow you to do that. 844-747-2577 is the number, 844-747-2577. We had a lot of people go, Ken, I know what I want to do, but I don't know how to get there. Well, a big part of that is stage three and stage four, get connected, get started. And I wrote a book entitled The Proximity Principle, the proven plan that will lead to the career you love. And you can get that number one bestseller, all three formats, hard copy with an autograph, audio book read by me, and then ebook, all one price, $25. Pretty good deal. Can't get that anywhere else, or you can get it wherever books are sold. But that's the plan. By the way, if you're not sure what the proximity principle is, it means, and or says rather, in order to do what you want to do, you fill in the blank there, you got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. The book unveils the five people and the five places that you need to be aware of and leverage to get the opportunity. It's like showing up at a train station. If you use the proximity principle, you won't be looking for opportunities. Opportunities come knocking on your door. 844-747-2577 is the number. Houston, Texas is where we go next. Kimberly joins us there. Kimberly, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you so much for your time.
You bet. How can I help?
Well, my husband is a police officer here in Houston, and we basically took some really nasty experiences that he was not getting help from after calls for service. And it took my experience as an EMT working on an ambulance and combined all of those to form a nonprofit to give back to police officers and their families to help them overcome the hurdles of their jobs and their roles.
Okay.
So we've created this foundation. We have a small following. When we host events, our buckets are overfilling with joy from what we do. So we know we're doing the right thing, but with the downward negativity and law enforcement and COVID, it's financially affected us. So my question is, how do we know if we need to continue on? Our long-term goals initially were to take this on national level and be able to offset our expenses with salary from the nonprofit, but we just haven't gotten there. And, after 5 years, we're starting to reevaluate. We know we're doing good, but, we're not able to give back the way that we want to.
So this foundation and the work that you're doing with it is you guys are funding it out of your personal income.
That's how we started. Yes, sir.
Right. But you're continuing to do that. Correct?
More or less. Yes, sir.
Well, so my gut is that no, you don't stop it. You don't shut it down. It's something that you believe deeply. And I think I can hear it in your voice, but I think we can always press pause if we have to, or we can always downshift from fourth gear to second gear for a season if we need to. There's nothing in the nonprofit, Bible, which doesn't exist. There's no 10 commandments that say, how much activity you've got to do. It's okay. Life is going to happen. We got this thing started. We've done some really good things. We've proven to ourselves that this is in fact a labor of love. And whether we do it from a volunteer standpoint, meaning we never pay ourselves, or we eventually pay ourselves out of the organization, is really a moot point. We believe it should be done. And I think if you're there, and I think you are, then what we do is we go, okay, what's the downshift, or is there a pause? So let's just stop our conversation for a moment and say, where do you think you are? Do you want to keep it going?
Oh, absolutely. We absolutely want to, just because of those connections that we get.
All right, so you've got COVID, you've got, I don't even know how to describe it. I know what you're talking about.
The
negative stuff out there towards police officers because of some bad apples. And I mean, very few. I'm not going to make a political statement here. So if you didn't like what I just said and you send me an email, I got great news for you. I'll never see it. Joe just deletes those things. So I just think there are a few bad apples, as are there a few bad apples in every group of life, by the way. So that's all I'm going to say. But because of what's going on, I mean, it obviously has had some effect, but here's the reality. There are always going to be people in the Houston, Texas area, in the state of Texas, if you go into a regional area beyond that, or in the United States, who still believe that there are good men and women who are serving our communities in the police force, and they want to jump on board this mission. So if that's true, and you believe that's true, correct?
Yes, sir.
Then you stay with it. But what you have to do is you go, we can't continue to fund this personally. And that doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you less of a crusader. It just makes you smart. So what we do is we decide, are we pausing for a few months, 6 months, 8 months, or are we just downshifting a little bit? And we're going to do what everybody else who runs a profitable nonprofit, because nonprofit, by the way, is a tax status. You got to be profitable. Somebody's got to pay the bills. And so the way you're going to do that is through donors or through, so that's the individual donor, or through fundraising efforts. And when that's a collection of donors. So that's how you're going to do it. And so you may have to go, okay, in the past, we've funded a portion of the events. From now on, we got to have a sponsor who will do it. Or we got to have a group of donors who will come in and cover the costs. And so that anything we raise in these events goes directly back into the coffers. I don't think you overcomplicate this thing, and I certainly don't think you quit. But I think you either pause or you downshift until you get the right people involved and the right donors, or we rework the events a little bit, we innovate a little bit, but we keep it going. I think that's the key. And so you guys could keep doing this and should keep doing it, but not at the cost of your personal financial situation. And it's okay to, number one, believe that and then act on that. Make sense?
Yes, sir.
Got it? You can do this. You can do this.
Thank you.
It is. You are not a bad person. You are not less of a crusader if we just go, all right, something's got to shift. Something's got to change. And here's the other thing. You and your hubs have learned a lot over the last, I think you said 5 years. You've learned a lot. So let's learn, actually, and not just learn. Let's make some new changes and go, okay, let's let everybody who's been involved with us before know, here's how we got to start doing things. We've been personally funding it, can't anymore because of the economy and blah, 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 blah. That's fine. People are fine with that. But we're going to keep doing this event, and we're going to do this, and we're going to get really serious about winning in our zip code. It's don't try to expand it too fast. That's the other thing. A lot of people who run nonprofits, you try to expand too quickly because your heart is so full and the mission is so surreal to you that you want to just do everything you can. And the reality is you can't do everything. But what we can do is we go, okay, we're going to win this. We're going to keep it really small. And we're going to try to replicate that success in year two and maybe year three. And we build on it and we take some of that success. We allow the success, the small success. Listen to me, you nonprofit people out there. We allow the small success to keep happening. And the longer we stay patient with the small successes will fund the next level. And, you know, I talked about this earlier in the show. The key to winning long-term isn't just persistence, it's patience. You can persist and persist and persist. But if you don't have the mindset of patience, you'll get frustrated. You'll feel like you're spinning your wheels, and you're not. If I take my son out to the woods today and we take this humongous tree and I say, son, I want you to cut this tree down with an axe, he ain't cutting it down today. And not tomorrow either. A gigantic tree that he can't get his arms around? Who knows how long it's going to take? But I tell you what it is going to take, persistence and patience, to show up and smack that tree with the axe until he can't smack it any longer. Then he goes home, showers, gets him a meal, gets a good night's rest, comes back, smacks that thing again. Persistence and patience is what turns into perseverance to stay with it, and that's what you need. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Coming to you from Ramsey Solutions World Headquarters in Nashville, this is the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get unstuck and then get on purpose in your work and in your life. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to John in St. Louis, Missouri. John, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help?
My question is, as I'm pursuing the passion career with patience and persistence, mm-hmm. how do I make more money while I wait for the result? My current job doesn't pay much, but it's the best full-time job that I've had thus far.
How much more money do you want to make?
Well, I would like to make, while I'm waiting for the other, it'd be nice to make at least $10,000 more.
Okay. So is that salary or is that hourly work? What are we talking about? You open to anything? I mean, it's a day job. So you know what your if you know what your dream job is, you're just saying, hey, Ken, I want to make more money in my day job, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I'm open to anything.
Well, here's what you do. So you got to see what's out there. And now you know how I teach that your sweet spot is at the intersection of what you do best, your talent, your passion, work you love to do, and then mission results that matter. Well, here's the reality. For a day job, you can just focus on talent alone. So, you know, you mm-hmm. just look at, okay, I've got skills, and these skills are hard skills, soft skills. I've got maybe some work experience that I can throw into that as well. And I just want to go find the best paying job there is. Now, sometimes it may not even involve that much skill. Let's say you go get a job driving for some major company, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you drive for Amazon or UPS, you get into their program. I don't know. You know, I don't know what it is, but it could be everything from driving to manual labor. You know, you could work in a trade if you got some trade skills. You can make really good mm-hmm. money in some of those places. So I don't know what you're currently making and what you want to make, but the point is how do I do that? I find a better paying job that I have the talent and the experience to do. And that's it, because mm-hmm. it's just a day job. You got your mindset on the mountain, the professional pinnacle. And so the day job is just, man, this is awesome. It allows me to make more money and stack it away while I'm having to be patient and persist. So how do I do it or how do I find it? I look for it. And you're looking for work in the talent bucket alone. If there's some passion there, that's bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So what job can you do that pays you the most amount of money? Or maybe it's a second job that on top of what you're currently doing, maybe makes you another 15 or 20. But don't mm-hmm. overcomplicate the process. So what are you doing right now for work?
For work, I am a paraprofessional helping kids with special needs.
Okay, and is that an hourly rate?
Yes.
How much?
Yeah, I get about 7.5 hours a day. So it's basically $1,000 every, like, twice a week. Month.
So,
like,
what's your hourly? $2,000. What's your hourly rate?
So it's about 15.
Okay.
More than 15.
All right. So, get out your calculator and start playing with the numbers. In order for me to make 10,000, you know, how am I going to do that? 10,000 more. Either I'm going to get more hours, okay, or I'm going to get paid more per hour, or a combination. That's how you do it. Don't overcomplicate it. So, what's out there that you can do that pays you more per hour? You know, is there a $20 an hour job, $25 an hour job that you can do? Get after it, man. You know, or if it's a place where maybe you're still getting paid 15, but they'll offer you 50 hours a week, you know, or 55, mm-hmm. you know, for a season. If you can do that, then that becomes a viable option. Do you have mm-hmm. ideas? Have you looked around in the area, your area where you live? And you know, it's like, hey, as I look around, here are all the jobs that are paying more than $15 an hour. Have you done that yet?
A bit. I haven't found a whole lot that matches that.
Okay.
That matches in me.
Well, but my point is guess what? You got to start talking to everybody you know. You're going, look, I'm looking to bring in more hours, or I'm looking for a better hourly wage. But looking a bit is not enough. You got to be super aggressive. You know, what is a delivery job going to pay you per hour? You know? Warehousing jobs, if they're just looking for some manual labor, you know, is there something out there paying $18 an hour and I'm moving boxes around? I don't know, but you can't just say, well, I've done it a bit. You have to look at everything there is out there. And trust me, there's still a lot of jobs, hourly jobs that are being offered in St. Louis. So I'd get after it. All right, folks, don't overcomplicate this. Remember, keep it simple. Don't let your brain complicate it. Keep it simple and get after it. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Ken Coleman Show continues from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. You have joined a conversation about your why. And we're going to look at your why at work in the professional setting, because I believe you were created to work, to produce results. That's what's work. That's what work does. It produces a result. But what if you worked on purpose for you? You created results that matter deeply to you, because when you see the results of your work affecting the lives of people and solving problems or providing solutions that matter deeply to you, you go, whoa, this is phenomenal. That'll put the Mo back in Mondays. Mo as in momentum. Mojo. Yeah, I said mojo recently to somebody like on our team. It was like 25 and they looked at me like I was an alien. It's like a phrase. Nobody, like these young people, I go, hey, you need some mojo. And they're like, what? What do you think about? What's mojo? I'm like, all right. So, Joe, you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. And just tell them, no, I don't drink coffee.
Yeah, right. Cup of Joe. I don't even think people that are young know that either. Do you know where that comes from, by the way? Somebody needs to find that out.
Going to have to look it up.
Thank you, Joe. All right, let's get to your calls. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Louisville, Kentucky is where Eric joins us. Eric, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help?
So in 2020, I was at a job that was, it was a sales job, and it was salary plus commission. I had all the benefits, had paid holidays, vacation, the whole works. And I was furloughed when everything kind of got bad with COVID for a few months. And before they were going to give me my job back in August, I had a friend of mine who he and his dad had a startup in Lexington, Kentucky, 4 or 5 years ago. And they had grown it in Lexington and were looking to expand in Louisville. So they wanted to bring me on in a commission role. Sales and service, where I make commission on servicing accounts and selling accounts. And knowing going in that the benefits weren't going to be the same, it was only going to be commission. It would be a risk for us, but their business was doing very well, even with the pandemic. They were growing. I jumped on board with them and left my other job in hopes that, you know, in 6 months that, you know, that it would, we would be making some more money, and maybe even exceed what I was making at the past job. About 6 months later, things have kind of gone slower than I thought. Not that the business is going slower, but they've, you know, they've needed a lot more resources. It's just taken a lot more than what we initially thought. And in that, we're still kind of in the same boat that we were then. It's been a struggle financially for me and my family. I'm working a lot more hours and things like that. But I was recently contacted by my previous employer, and they are looking to bring me back on. So my wife and I are trying to sort through the decision of going back to that previous job where everything was a little more certain, or staying in the current role that I'm at.
Why would you stay? Have you and your wife talked about this? And I'd like to know, if you have, what'd you come up with the pros for staying and the cons if you stay?
So the pros for staying is the potential. I'm pretty, as far as the company goes, I have, you know, I was on early on. So as it grows, my income grows, and I like the job. I kind of hit my mojo, like you were saying, after the break there in sales and in a management role. And so I enjoy it. I get to do a lot of different things besides just sell, which helps me. Just kind of keep my mind straight and everything. So those are the big pros in staying, the potential, and, you know, I do enjoy the job.
All right, what are the cons? Just simply, you're not making, how much less are you making?
So initially when I started off, I was making about $45,000 less a year.
Okay.
Quite a bit less.
And that's
over half.
And is that still the case?
Well, that's the thing. So as we kind of came around the corner in this new year, some sales and stuff that I've done, I recently got a check. Every check is different. If I got that every week, it would be about $47,000 a year as opposed to 35, which would, because I was making about 80 at my previous job. But that's never guaranteed. There's things that can happen, and yeah. It doesn't stay that way.
How close to you and your friends who run this company, how close do they think you are to getting out of the woods there?
Well, they can't really say for sure. I mean, we always talk about it. We kind of dream about it and talk about it. But there's some weeks where it's like, well, you know, by next month, here we're probably going to be closer to it. And then something happens and, you know, a sale didn't go through or something. And it's been kind of a revolving door for the past 6 months. And yeah.
So which way are you and your wife leaning as of today?
I'm leaning more towards going and leaving because of the, you know, the work-life balance side of things. I had a lot of freedom at the previous job. My wife tugs back a little bit because she knows that I enjoy this job, but she's supportive of the decision that I make.
Is she working outside the home?
I do, yes.
No, I'm saying, does she work outside the home?
Oh, no, she stays home, and she has a little online business that she does at home, but she stays home with the kids.
Well, where I was going with this is you guys together can decide here. If you can continue to weather the pay cut, then you know, you have to decide. It's not her decision. She's going, stay with it because you really love the work. You're going, man, I'm working longer hours, and I'm making less money. So, I mean, it's your call. I think it's great that your wife is supportive of you staying. But I think it comes down to you deciding, is this your head talking to you or your heart? Because if your heart's saying stay with it, because the opportunity is eventually going to be really great, and at some point I'll know whether it's going to pan out or not. Like right now, it's too soon to know. But I think you have got great common sense, and at some point you'd know, you know what? This thing isn't going to get where we thought it was going to get to. But the question becomes, how would you make up for that? And if you guys... seems like you've made it so far. If you can continue to tighten your belt and sacrifice a little bit and it not become a real detriment financially, which then turns into mental and emotional stuff, then I'd be fine with you staying with it. But if it becomes a detriment, then I would tell you, you can get back there one day, and I'd go to these guys and go, guys, I came, I did it, I went for it, I can't keep doing this. But when the company gets to another, when it gets, you know, if you guys don't want to have me back because they're friends of yours, if you'll have me back once you guys get more established, I'm in. But right now, I just can't keep doing this. I'd be totally fine with you going back to the old job.
Right, yeah, and that's the thing is I don't want to, at the same time, this opportunity to go back where it's a little more stable, it's not going to be there, you know, anytime that I want to do it. So if I stay, you know, and then it doesn't pan out in the next couple months and we get to that place, there may not be that option. And so that's kind of...
Are you pretty good friends with these guys that you're working for now?
Yeah, pretty good friends. But when I came on, you know, he said, you know, if this thing doesn't work out, you know, no problem. Just give me enough time to get somebody else.
Well, I'd go ahead and
get somebody else going.
I'd tell him, look, guys, the timing is just not working right now. I'll come back once you guys are more established if you want me. You know, because I do love the work. I just can't do this to my family. I can't do this to myself. And I got to do this for me. I think if they're good dudes, they're going to go, hey, man, we totally understand it. And help them replace yourself and do all that. And then I think you'll be fine. And I think you can always get back with them or find something else like it. But yeah, I'm fine whichever way you go because I think you're a solid dude. I think you guys have a lot of common sense. Kudos to your wife. You know, we hear this sometimes, whether it be a wife or a husband or whatever. But when your spouse is so supportive like she is, Eric, I just want to... And I know you're grateful for her, but I'm just reminding you to remind her to tell her how much you're grateful for with her. And you guys can get through anything when you got a relationship like that. I got to tell you, the pursuit of dreams and climbing mountains that we're talking about, folks, it's so much harder when you don't have a committed and supportive spouse. So that's really good. You guys will get there, Eric. All right. That music means my time is almost up. But before I let you go, I want you to know that you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts, such as the Entree Leadership Podcast with Daniel Tardy.
Hey, this is Daniel Tardy, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast. We believe that small business is the backbone of the American economy. And we also know it can be really hard to win in business. So we're here to help. On the Entree Leadership Podcast, we talk about the practical ways that you can grow yourself, your team, and your profits. Join us every week as we talk to entrepreneurs, CEOs, thought leaders, best-selling authors, and more to help you on the journey of winning at business.
You can start your journey at entreeleadership.com/podcast, or you can search Entree Leadership wherever you listen to podcasts.